at the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good. Sorry about my tongue caught my my roof of my mouth. Nobody wants to hear that. those weren't dentures. Very good Tuesday race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. There's no more hectic a morning than the morning of a travel day around here. And Tina back to school today after the snow day yesterday. There was just enough snow yesterday. Yeah, it's picturesque. It's lovely. And I guess there's more on Wednesday, so I'm out of here. Yeah, heading to Florida later, and the start, I guess, of the travel schedule, and very different with the NHC, like we talked with Keith Shamblin, the next few years, this March NHC. So that's what we're doing, and of course, the opportunity to take in the action Saturday at Gulfstream, Pegasus card set, the 13 races. It's actually, you know, on a widespread basis, a really nice race day, Southwest day at Oaklawn, if you haven't looked over in that direction, and Houston Ladies Classic, along with the John Connolly and more, the Bork Mile and the Groovy and the Barrel Ass. Be nice if we could bet on it, but at the very least, I mean, those that will be in attendance, they'll get to play. The rest of us will watch on and take an interest, obviously. We'll talk to Nick Tamaro, probably get out ahead of it a little bit with Nick, given that, you know, the limited wagering scenario, but still there's people who are going to be in attendance, and people within the state get to, you know, they can partake, and actually internationally we do have the signal is outside the borders, so we'll certainly cover it without fail. And I think we're going to catch a visit in with from Florida. We'll reach out and get the Southwest card covered with Vic Stauffer as well. But the order of business is to get settled, and the lead up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from Gulfstream. And then actually all next week too, because I think we'll do 10 days from Hallandale, and then we'll move over to Tampa ahead of the Sam Davis. So at least a couple of days there, maybe even three. But anyway, the first trip of the year, and because it's, you know, in between. You know the John Parada theory that you don't go to Florida for the weather until Valentine's Day. That's the cutoff. That's when you're assured of the kind of weather you want to go to Florida for. And, I mean, we're not going for the weather per se, but we're not going to complain. We'll certainly take in, we'll take in whatever it affords. If that means a little bit of beach time, maybe. All right, I'm okay with that. A couple of things we're going to check in with. Speaking of Florida, we're going to check in with Tom Ventura. Tom couldn't join us yesterday. He was knee deep in the Under Tack show yesterday at OBS in advance of today's kickoff to the winter mix sale. It's going to go today and tomorrow. And they got a nice, think it would be a very nice catalog. And obviously, it's a mixed bag of a little bit of everything. That's the fun part of these mixed sales. You got broodmares in full. You got broodmares with babies by their side. You got, you name it. You got short yearlings. You got horses of, you know, they go right on with it. And from that standpoint, it's a good opportunity for people, whatever their, you know, whatever their needs are. Tom says that they've had a nice, they've got nice traffic, and they're anticipating a good start to the, to their season. We also, when we joined Tom, two things, going to also get Tom's Howie Tesher appreciation, since we couldn't talk yesterday, and his association with Howie goes back to Tom's days working for the Steinbrenners at Kinsman. So we'll get Tom to appreciate later Andy Serling, and Andy also. Andy, as I told you yesterday, as we kind of follow up to, you know, the very, I'd like to think, and based on reaction, the well-received and really the sweet homage, sequence of homage to Howie, and the stories that produce some smiles. Andy has got a fun story or two, because as somebody that lives in Manhattan, he would commute with Howie, at least drive home very often from the track with Howie into the city. And it's a community effort, actually. There's a whole pool over the years. There's a pool of people that have driven Andy into the city, because the state of New York does not want Andy driving. It's we haven't discussed this in years, but he's, as you can imagine, not, you know, given the long stretches when he has not operated a motor vehicle. yeah. So, oh, there's the deer. There's the famous deer story on the Northway. yeah, there, he's really not from the drivers, as we say. but he would commute with Howie. Really fun yesterday. I mean, you know, listen, 90 years old, and you can't you can't complain. And the tough part about it is that, you know, if he hadn't had that fall, that sped things along. And my father, I mean, it's very similar, actually. And not that this is an unfamiliar storyline, right? Bob Colonies as well, right? Had a fall, and it just whether it's a hip, or if it's, you know, in Howie's case, he banged his head very, you know, very badly. And so my dad was actually, it was different, because he fell, and it fell on ice, actually. And he was on a job. He went to Jersey to see a job, and he badly banged his mouth and jaw. And when they went to do the dental work, he ended up with some sort of an infection, and it traveled around his body, and it really, you know, wreaked havoc. And that was really the beginning of, you know, a downward spiral. So it's tough when you get older. In the meantime, Buzz Aldrin, 93, same age as my father, and Buzz Aldrin is punching out internet creeps and getting married. So, you know, God bless him. Did you see that? It's the greatest clip I've ever seen. One of these lunatics that thinks the moon landings were staged, that they were done in the desert somewhere. I tell you, I guess, right? It takes, proverbial takes all kinds. Yeah, so he gave the guy a good zets. And then 10 minutes later, he's marrying that longtime girlfriend. This is great. God bless. Years of happiness to Buzz Aldrin. Godspeed, Buzz. Neil Pessin is going to join us. Who can resist the chance to have Neil come on after Happy American? We'll talk to Neil. In fact, we'll talk to Neil in about 10 minutes, and it should be fun. It's always fun to visit with Neil. I tell you, Happy American. Those of us that are figure types, kind of wondered if he might react to the win last out, but he didn't react at all. In fact, I don't think he moved forward, but he certainly paired up. At the very least, we've got to get through the rest of that. I only made a couple of references toward the weekend action, kind of hinted at a few different little results. But Happy Americans win. Yeah, he basically paired up to the Tenacious win and fifth career win, and it feels like. As a mature horse, he's trying to shoulder his way into pretty elite company. So you would think that Neil might talk about the Clark kind of a Foster Clark scenarios. He certainly has run well at Churchill. So broke his maiden at Churchill and won that allowance, I think. As well. So, Happy American, now a graded stake winner, which is not insignificant. He's a run happy out of a Quiet American mare, and as discussed yesterday, the unbelievable coincidence that the second dam ended up being not just a trainee of Howie Tesher's, but also campaigned by Aaron Yagoda. It's good, unbelievable. I mean, you couldn't, it's the kind of thing you cannot make up. And our dear Ruth was the horse we mentioned yesterday with Aaron. In fact, I don't know if you saw the listing from yesterday for the show, but I asked Aaron and I also asked Steve Shea, and they supplied some photographs. I wanted some things that people hadn't seen, like the picture I put up that I got out of the Miami News, newspapers.com, which it's not inexpensive, but it's $150 a year. They hit you every 6 months for $75. But it is, aside from being a great resource, it's also a lot of fun. I mean, you go poking around and you'd be astounded at the things you find. You put searches in they've got this mammoth, I don't even know how many newspapers are now on. They're always adding newspapers.com. They're always adding more papers. But it's great. And so that picture that I put up yesterday with the Eclipse Rock that John Brunetti gave Howie. Anyway, Neil Pessin today, shortly. So that means there'll be food discussed, right? How can there not? If you're going to have Neil, you're going to talk a little food. Later, who else? Papo will swing by. I'm hoping, let me see if we've got a little visitor that I'm hoping for. Not confirmed yet. Okay. Well, we'll keep that open-ended. All right, and we'll see if that comes to pass. I hope I can pull that off, and Yeah, there you go. That's it. Before we got a few minutes before we reach out to Neil. So let's do this, and let me, if I don't clear off the weekend, because yesterday obviously was kind of a special occasion, and thanks also to Steve Shea, if those of you that listen and roll right into the live show here on Sirius XM, you were treated to Steve Shea, and I will absolutely get him back when he comes to Saratoga. That's what people, I mean, honestly, that's what so many people that have enjoyed the game for a long time, that's one of the things that they really, hearing those stories. I mean, for those that, I say this semi-regularly, part of the charm and part of what makes this so appealing as a betting enterprise and as a throwback, and if it's a archaic game, so be it. To me, it doesn't diminish the appeal, but cashing a bet that shouldn't offend anybody, that's why it's such a weird, that's why it's such an odd kind of I don't know, dialectic. That, a certain segment gets all up in arms. That, somebody worked their horse into position to cash a bet. That's part of it. I'm sorry. I it's a betting game. So I don't think anybody's got to apologize. Don't want to do illegal things, but racing a horse into shape and not necessarily having them dialed in and jumping out of their skin and ready for every that's part of the lure and the allure of the game. That's a fact. The maiden races from Fairgrounds on Saturday that we should touch on, and we'll keep the stakes separate. We'll touch. I talked to Brad Cox this morning, but it doesn't seem prudent to have Brad on to talk about the two wins and Instant Coffee's win, of course, in the LeCompte and the Alley Slook. In the Silver Bullet Day, Brad Cox has got three horses in the Southwest. He's got Cyberknife, the favorite. We'll talk in a little bit about the Pegasus, and more. So I got a feeling we'll probably have to reach out to Brad next week. So we'll save the Alley's Look. I did reach out to Ike Thrash. I would love to get Ike Thrash, who bought the Alley Slook for $60,000. A tremendous buy. Because this obviously a nice filly, 89 buyer in this win. And the step forward off the Fairgrounds not debut, actually, because the debut was the maiden win, but the untappable try behind Pretty Mischievous. This was a very nice step forward, and she felt like the right horse. I mean, of her and Chop Chop, not that Chop Chop ran bad, because she didn't. She ran fine, and they were a dozen lengths clear of. Hey, you never know. Forest Chimes, the second timer. That was a lot to ask. We tried to get that one. 4-1 was. 4-1 was probably a little, you know, that was the morning line, but I was kind of thinking maybe she'd tick up. But anyway, the Alley's Look, a connect out of the Harlan's Holiday Mare, foul play, Watts Humphrey. I wanted to see about a conversation with Ike Thrash, because Ike buys his own horses, and he's had a nice, I mean, Thrash's, Ike and Don Thrash, they've had a very nice, really have had a very nice run. They consistently have a nice horse or two. And for $60,000, Keeneland Yearling, yeah, that's a nice, that's a very nice purchase. So I'm kind of curious. I want to hear. And Watts Humphrey Bread, who does a great job. So anyway, the maidens. Let's run these down before I reach out for Neil. And actually, Neil, I'll save one of them. Sweet Alyssa, that first of the open company stake. Maidens for the Lothan box. So I'll save that for Neil. So we'll talk not just Happy American, but also first-time starter. And Neil, not necessarily. There were a couple of horses the last few days that first-time starters that you don't necessarily think of some of the trainers that you know the John Enos the other day at Turfway, that was the best. I mean, that was the horse had win early pedigree, but. Enos, you know, doesn't, you know, numbers not huge for the first or so, as we discussed it. Anyway, News Destiny for Jade Gellner. This was the Tapiture Filly that opened the scoring on the day. And Florent Giroux aboard. Norman Stables paid 9-2. Beat that Olivia G. And that was an interesting firster from, not a firster, but started a couple of times at Fairgrounds. But the Patricia West runner on the rail, who really got bet, right? Yeah, got bet down to even money, actually. But New Destiny, able to hold that one safe. Olivia G was making steady progress under Deshaun Parker. Cagliostro. By a romping three, and boy, did she get bet. This was Cherie's horse that we had talked about, David and Gordo and Tala Racing, Jim Spry and West Point, and Nice Guy Stables. They're all partnered up on the Cagliostro, and 320. The horse of Samantha's ran very well. Samantha Siegel and Paul McGee sent out Mohope, and if you saw my notes, I mean, that was Mohope. Was from one of Samantha's nice families. Won't be a maiden much longer. Ran well, but Cagliostro came marauding down the middle of the track. Mariah's Appeal. There were probably a couple of non-stake winners from Saturday at Fairgrounds that were very notable, and that includes Mariah's Appeal that won over Merlaza, the Brad Cox. And Mariah's Appeal, Deshaun Parker, 10-1. This is a distorted humor, bred by Sun Valley for Mr. Rigney and Phil Bauer. And this one's got plenty of upside. Was a $260,000 Keeneland Yearling out of a gemologist mare. And got a nice fig, too. 77 debut buyer. For this three-year-old filly. So keep an eye. I actually exchanged a note with Phil, and they're excited. They're excited about her. Huntley, this was one that the maiden races were tough. Huntley, Norm Cassie, for Let It Ride. And this is a congrats, filly. This was the mile in the 6th race. Dana Wire Thoroughbreds bred. And Huntley just could not be bested by Dr. Politi and Amos's Grapes for Eloise, who we keep betting, and we keep. She was 8-1. The price was right. The Brad Cox filly really was, just okay. It just kind of came ranging late. But Grapes for Eloise and Huntley, they sparred, and ultimately Huntley shrugged her off under Corey Lannery, Norm Cassie. And as mentioned, Let It Ride Equine. Holdings, First Defender was good. First Defender, a little under even money. Quality Road for Three Chimneys. This is a homebred of theirs out of the nice 11 Pride, the AP Indy. And nice fig here, too, for this colt. 83 in his debut. Keep an eye for what's next, how quickly they'll move First Defender along. And as I told you, if you may have missed, I slipped it in yesterday regarding Echo Again. Talked to Scott Blasi, and Blasi said they went over Echo Again, and there was really nothing apparent for him. So just kind of lost the action, and Gaffleone taking precaution, simply. So that was that, unless there's been something overnight that we hadn't heard. I should mention, not a maiden race, but what do you want to call it? The LeCompte Light, the allowance. How about Determinedly was very, very good. 84 Meyer winning that allowance. Tappet's Conquest, who ended up in this spot, and, when there was the scratch of Banishing, if you saw my tweet Saturday morning, word had come, I reached out to Bob Edwards to see what they were doing, and he said, well, Banishing, we understand, is scratching. So I reached out to Brendan Walsh, and Brendan explained that Banishing had, as they say, got cast in the stall and banged himself up. So, nothing serious, but so Banishing was scratching, and Tappet's Conquest ends up going in the allowance race, and I do wonder if they might have, later on thought maybe they could have fared as well in the stake. So anyway, Determinedly was very strong here for Jack Oxley, and this one will certainly turn up in the Risen Star for Mark Cassie. This is a Bedouin bloodstock Cairo Prince colt. Out of Bailsy, and Bailsy we certainly remember, Bailsy, Pat Kelly, the very nice Bailsy for Fox Ridge, right? Fox Ridge, I think. If it was with Pat, right? It took a long time to break the maiden for Determinedly, but this feels like, feels like a nice next step. Very slow, steady progress for Determinedly. So look for that one next time we talk to Mark, which will probably be sooner than later. Then there was Single Ruler, the Empire Maker for Keith DeSormo, Rocker O'Ranch, a Don Alberto bred out of the Stormcat Mare, Smara, Single Ruler, solid performance here, breaking the maiden, going long on the dirt, this colt. Who had hit the board repeatedly, trying to get to the maiden win, and seems to be progressing steadily. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's the wrong, I'm sorry. That I'm looking at the wrong page. There he is. Still, has been okay, and the blinkers went on. here to win. So there you go. That was the maiden races that were very notable. A fun card. The weather held together pretty good. You did have the one stake come off. The sprint came off the turf. That was the one. But it wasn't, you know, it actually held together okay. Six horses. And the rest will wait for something a little later in the winter, early spring. But the surveillance figured, you know, heavily in there for Big Chief and Rockerosa. What a nice day for them. They also had surveillance. This was the Kenner. And they made the decision early. There was a little bit of rain passed through in the morning, and they made the decision to take the Kenner off, and the others stayed on. But, I mean, surveillance and Bango just, you know, they were they became obvious in there. So there it is. We'll save the Silver Bullet Day and the LeCompte. And as I mentioned, Neil Pessant is going to join us here next. All right? Let's see. There we go. Perfect. Bottom of the hour. We'll reach for Neil, and we'll get going. On this Tuesday. Yeah. It feels like I just talked to Neil because he was part of that Neil, what are you in a wind tunnel?
I'm outside.
I guess so.
You know, some of us do train horses for a living, you know.
Well, listen, it's a sideline for you. You're a professional Nash. They're a professional professor. I was just, you know, I was reiterating as I was dialing you that we had so much fun doing that show with Ron Flatter, and I feel like you and I kind of dominated the conversation just because you know, you've got a long file that you keep, and I, you know, I traverse the country running down places.
Well, I'm going to tell you, the one guy's choices, I'm not so sure about him.
Oof, that, well, we won't. We...
I'm not going to follow him around to eat.
You know, that's one of those things that you know, when you're in a group and that kind of conversation comes up, and you just sort of nod, you don't want to create a confrontation.
No, I wanted to say, why the hell would you go there?
Well, that's the famous Joe Hirsch line. You know, the way Joe would not run down a joint, but somebody would say, a restaurant would come up and they'd say, Joe, you ever been? He said, I went there once. And they say,
yes.
I went there once, and somebody, then they'll say, how was it? He said, like I said, I went there once.
I always tell people I went there twice, first and last.
Exactly. There you go. Well, speaking of first, happy American, Neil, you got to be thrilled. Bob Lothenbach's got to be thrilled. He still is getting better.
Yeah, no, he's on the improve. Since we've cut him, he's been a little different horse. And probably should have won his first race at Churchill after we cut him, and he got in a little trouble. And then we came here, and he won. And then he came back and won again. And he just keeps improving. This time he ran a little straighter course than he did last time. And he had no pace to run at all, but still closed very strongly and got up to win.
That's what was impressive to me, that pretty relentless under James Graham, and James knows him well, knows when to launch the rally, and it's not as if you got some big pace set up for him to close into either.
No, they went extremely slow, actually, so it was a little more impressive of a race than it showed up. If they had any pace, I think he'd have won a little easier. But like James said, he had to move him a little too soon because the horse on his outside came up. He didn't want to get boxed, so he put in a little more of an extended run than he normally would and came out of it a little more tired than he did the last one. So we may or may not make the mine shaft and go straight to New Orleans handicap, or if he's doing really well, we'll go in the mine shaft.
Well, and how do you deal with that? I mean, you know, did he lay down a little bit, and do you just back off of him for an extra few days?
Well, we give him quite a few days off anyway. We give him 4 or 5 days off after the race, no matter what. But usually, like last time after the race, he was dragging the hot walker around. We had to put a lip chain on him. today we still didn't need the lip choke.
Interesting. That's an interesting way to I like that.
So he's eating good and everything else is good, but unless he's just ultimately gets real sharp in the next couple of weeks, we'll probably skip the mine shaft and go to the New Orleans handicap.
Well, and as you mentioned, with the gelding, you know, there's no agenda, right? I mean, you basically can pick and choose as you go, as you wish.
Yeah, and we don't own the mare either, so it's strictly about what's best for him.
Well, you know, it's funny, Neil, that you mentioned the mare. I don't know if anybody brought the connection up from Saturday and then subsequently, but this female family, the second dam was trained by Howie Tesher.
Oh, nice.
And so
keep
that
in the family.
Well, that too. So we actually yesterday, in paying tribute to Howie, it came up very, very much with Aaron Yagoda. David Miller, King of the North Bloodstock, he pointed that out to me on Saturday evening. He sent me a note. Because he knows it just was one of those things that racing is amazing that way, Neil, when it comes to, a coincidence that you couldn't make up.
Oh, I know. It's amazing how things work out in this business sometimes.
Well, you've got to be very proud of the way this horse has come along. And, you know, the next level is to, you know, break the triple digit buyer figure barrier. I can tell you that on the sheets, you know, that effort in the Tenacious was a negative number on Thorograph. So he, you know, he's knocking on the door of the serious handicap horses.
Yeah, no, I think he has the potential to be. I really never pay that much attention to the numbers because they can only tell you what they did, not what they're going to do. You know, they like to tell you they can tell you what they're going to do, but they can't.
Well, and because there was a school of thought, there was an absolute school of thought Saturday going into this race that he might react to that number, actually, to that effort. That's why, to me, it was particularly impressive that he closed so stoutly into the slow pace.
Well, see, that's one reason I don't go for the numbers a lot, because they did say that, but the horse didn't say that.
Yeah.
Going into the race, coming out of the last race. He gave every indication he was going to run a better race than he did the last time.
And that's exactly the way it came off. And really, you know, you look at Brett Calhoun behind you with Mr. Wireless, he followed up his effort quite nicely coming out. In fact, all three of those horses out of the Tenacious ran 1-2-3.
Yeah, well, I guess the public didn't think the Tenacious was that good of a race because they made Zozos the favorite.
Well, you know, Zozos was like this mojo horse. I mean, that's all. He was everybody's universal good thing, and I thought he could win, but I didn't think he had to win by any means.
Well, I was on TVG, and all I told him was he better bring his running shoes.
Well, and you were right. You were right. Happy American, a run happy, and Bob Lothan back, and as mentioned, Claiborne bred. And I'll have to look up the family and see if there's anything coming through rings this year.
And being a run happy, too, let's give a little kudos to McInvale, because he has invested a ton of money in this game.
Well, he invested $2 million on the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. That didn't go over so well.
Well, that was just a dumb move. As Bobby Hebert says down here, the Dallas Cowgirls.
we do beat up on Dallas quite a bit around here. Neil, talk about the maiden too, because Sweet Alyssa started the day off nicely. This is a homebred. And, you know, for a Union Rags to win like that first out is notable.
Well, the mare was a pretty nice mare, a little high-strung, by the name of Scattergun, and she won her first out. And her brother, Hogslayer's RIP, ran twice here and got beaten photos both times. And then he had a paddock accident, so we don't know if he's going to make it back or not, but we're trying. And then this filly's the second foal out of that mare. So, and she won first time out. So a little precocity is in the family. We didn't have her you know, I never gear my horses to win first out. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But I knew she was going to run well, and she showed up. So I think she's going to be better when we stretch her out, because we'll probably stretch her out her next race, which will be the 17th of February, the day before the big day here next month.
Well, and, you know, for you to win, for you to win first out is a nice,
Yeah, like I say, we don't gear them up for that. If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't. But we had a good day overall. We had Raggedy Sand, who is strictly going to be a route horse, and she got up to be third, made a nice run at the end. And another horse I've got, the 2-year-old boy, is Baseline Beater, and he stumbled really badly at the start and got way behind and made a nice run to be second. And I think he's going to be a nice horse once he figures everything out.
That came, that was in the 10th, and Baseline Beater was kind of a clever, I think a fairly clever player in that race. And so to come running, I don't think we're getting 13-1 next time. That was the DeSormo race, right? That was that single ruler. Yep. All right. Well, a very nice day. All in all, you look at these results. Should also mention, you mentioned Raggedy Sand. What's that? That Earl of Dassel in the 7th, since we're doing
Earl
this.
Earl was very disappointing, to be honest with you, because I really thought he was going to run good, too. And I think he just wound himself up so much. He got nervous and just wound himself up so much that he was just tight and didn't run a very good race. We're going to try stretching him out, and we'll school him a little bit in the paddock, see if that helps him any. But we may end up, if he doesn't run good next time, we may end up just giving him a little time off to grow up a little bit.
Well, yeah, and that's funny. That horse came out of a New York bred mare that was very notable around these parts. She only made one start. Dr. Melfi, of course, out of Sopranos, a Freud daughter. And I remember when she debuted, the Soprano fans were all excited about Dr. Melfi.
Well, he was working really well. In fact, he was probably one of my favorites of the day.
Wow.
Because he'd actually worked with Sweet Alyssa and outworked her.
Huh.
So I know it's boys against girls, but he acted like he was going to be a pretty nice horse and then just throwed a dud in. But I think he just worked himself up mentally. As I say, he's physically great, the mental midget.
He's a Cairo prince. I mean, is he how long before you clip him?
We already have.
Oh, you did? Because he
yes.
So right after the race, because he was a colt going in, wasn't he?
No, he was a gelding going in. They just missed it.
Amazing. He's still showing up. Actually, he still shows up as a colt on Equibase.
Well, we'll make sure that gets changed for his next one.
There you go. All right. I'm glad. Well, you never know when this comes
out. There's not too many colts left in the barn in my barn. outside the humans, I don't think we have a whole lot of them.
I love it. Well.
Well, if they're not going to make a stallion, there's no need to.
Yeah.
To leave them a colt.
Who was it? Wayne Lucas says the right. You should cut 90% of them, and you'd have had more horses, better horses. What about the horse on Sunday? Mo Time at all? First time starters.
Well, he got away from the rider. He wasn't supposed to go the lead. He was supposed to take back, and he's a big, strong horse, and I think he has a lot of ability, but he's not wrapped the tightest. That's why it took us so long to get him. He's a 6-year-old making his first start on Sunday. And he just got away from the rider and kind of run off the first part of it and just got tired at the end. He ran out of training after that.
You're the greatest.
But I think he's going to be a decent horse once he figures out how to relax and just lay off of it a little bit.
Coming up this week, this week too, Neil, we should mention, I see Minnesota Ready comes back for the seasonal debut, and that was a horse we talked about. I remember, in fact, it may have even gone back to when you first alerted us to Happy American, and then Ready to Pounce as well on Friday.
Well, Minnesota, we got to beat Al's horse in there, but I think it's just a two-horse race between us. He is doing really, really good right now. Had a super breeze last time. If he's not 1-2, I'll be shocked. I wish, you know, I always wish the race were like 6.5 or 7, but our choice down here is 6 furlongs. So that's what we're going to go with, and hopefully he can get up and ready to pounce. We took a shot in the Thanksgiving Day handicap. Didn't pan out. He finished 5th in there, but ran a decent race. This time we're going to just sit off. It's a very tough race, but he's doing good. So I'm not as confident in him as I am in Minnesota Ready, but I still think he's going to run a pretty good race. So we'll see what happens with him.
Excellent. That's Thursday and Friday.
Thursday and Friday. Minnesota Ready on Thursday and Ready to Pounce on Friday.
Well, you're always ready to pounce.
Yes, he is. He will be ready to pounce.
Neil, let's round out the morning and the visits. What else is, what do you got lined up the next few weeks?
Well, we've got, what do we have? Probably the 18th is going to be the main. We'll have maybe 6 horses in. I've got another first-time starter coming up by the name of Urban Force that acts like she could be okay. So hopefully she does well, and the rest of his horses will be running back in, you know, Baseline Beater will be running back on the 18th in the mile and 16th maiden race. And hopefully he doesn't have any mishaps, and he can win. So we're sitting on some nice horses right now. I mean, we're not, I don't know if there's any bells in the barn yet. You know, Happy Maybe, and maybe Sweet Alyssa if she can come around a little bit, but they've got a long ways to go to get to where Belle was.
Where are you? I know you had one start last weekend with Fine Cotton that broke her maiden late in the year.
Yeah, Fine Cotton, she's a filly that has a little bit of a breathing issue.
Yeah.
And if you get her nervous or going, you know, she gets wound up and you get hold of her and take hold of her, she shuts it off. And that's kind of what happened to her last time. She just got a little too much of a hold on her, and we'll have to just kind of let her go a little more next time and see what happens.
Well, when you've got nice multiple stake winning horse now and Happy American, who you always were confident in. I mean, I remember when we first talked about him, Neil, and it was a conversation that was tied to Bell's the One, and you had a lot of nice things to say, and so we've kind of kept tabs on him ever since.
Yeah, no, he's always acted like he had ability, just to more metal, you know, I think cutting him helped a lot, because I will be honest, he had some huge nuts.
That'll happen. That'll happen.
And I think they were kind of bothering him and rubbing him a little bit, and when we cut him, his stride just got better, and his racing, as you can see on the form, got better. So any owner out there that's afraid to cut one,
yeah,
don't be.
No. 100%.
And that's where Mr. Losenbach is really good on things like that. Because the way we look at it, they're not going to make a stallion. They really don't need to stay a colt anyway. And the way he was going his last couple races, he wasn't going to make a stallion.
Let me ask you about one more that I just noticed hasn't started, but looks like she might be coming up to a race. Troberitz.
Troberitz ran 3rd here in the stake last time. Just got beat a zap for a second. Ran a big race. It was off the turf. And she's a little better on the turf than she is off. But we went ahead and ran on the dirt just trying to get black type, which we did. And she's doing exceptionally well. There's an allowance race. I think it's on the 17th, maybe. I have to take a look. Or there's a stake coming up after that, and I got to talk to Mr. Jones and see what he wants to do, whether he just wants to try and increase her bankroll a little bit, or maybe try and get the win in the stakes, or wait for it to be someplace else.
And you mentioned...
So we got our job done down here with getting her black tight.
That was clever in the Pago Hop. By the way, and she's a summer front, so it's nice,
yes.
You know, it's nice for her to win on the dirt, because you know she's going to, you know, the turf is her milieu. Neil, what's your feeling on the way they're dealing with the turf course? I mean, that narrow, you know, those narrow fences, you know, running in that that very specific section of the turf course, it seems a little inhibiting.
Well, it is. I mean, you've got, it's out 34 feet, which is the farthest it's ever been out since I've been coming down here, which is 40 years. But that being said, it's just, we're just happy to be running on it at all, because there
That's
was
true.
Some mistakes made with it during the summer that have attributed to this, which will be remedied for next year. But we really can't do much about it for this year. So we're only running 8 horses. Normally it's 12, 14 horse field, and they've limited it to 8. And we're just going to have to go with it, because they're not going to be able to move the rail in any, because that's where the problem is with the turf course, is right inside that 34 feet. So right now we just, we'll go with the flow and just happy to be able to run a few on it, because normally, we're running 3 or 4 a day on it, and now we're running 1 a day.
For some barns, that's, if you don't have,
for some barns.
Yeah, exactly. Because you come down there specifically to some degree to, if you didn't have turf horses, you'd run at Oaklawn.
Right. If you like freezing your ass off on a bad racetrack, but that would be great.
Whoa, easy, down trigger.
Well, I'm a fairgrounds man, that.
All right, that gives us, we got about...
I'll just say this, there's a lot of horses that will run in hot springs that train at the fairgrounds.
Point well made, I get it. Neil Pessin with us as we talk about the Louisiana win, Grade 3 for Bob Lothenbach's Happy American. And Neil, you can't come on here and not give us, for people that'll be coming down for Risen Star, and then of course there's the HBPA convention visitors, and we've given everybody the obvious places. Let's give them a couple of places offbeat that are less publicized. Maybe some places you want to help help management get some new bodies into the restaurant.
Well, you got to do the thing. Central Grocery is closed right now, where you get a muffalata. They're doing renovations.
Yeah, the remodeling. Yeah,
but you can go to Zapardo's Grocery Store on Veterans and Metairie and pick up a Central Grocery muffalata. Be sure you get the Central Grocery one, not theirs.
Interesting.
And it's to me the best muffalata in town, or anywhere for that matter. So, and it's simple. It's $20. It can feed 2 people easily. If you got small appetites, it'll feed 3. Like most people, guys with appetites will eat a half, and people with not a big appetite will eat a quarter. Hmm. So it's worthwhile getting. Very good. It's Italian meats on Italian bread with cheese and olive salad. And I'm really not a big olive salad guy, but I like olive oil. So sometimes I'll just scrape the olives off if you don't like olives, but it's worth going to get.
And they're doing specifically, are they using Central Grocer's spread? Is that why?
Central Grocery makes them and delivers to them.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So because they're not open at their, they can't open the store themselves downtown. So they've got like 2 or 3 locations they deliver to, but Zapardo's is the one I know about that I go to.
Excellent. Excellent.
It's just a grocery store. You walk in at the meat counter and they're sitting right there in front already prepackaged, and pick them up and go pay for them.
Nice.
And then you got a place like La Uza's by the track for the
sure,
gumbo.
Of course. That one we give them. You and I were talking after we taped that show, and one place that I've talked up for breakfast is that the Houdat Cafe, coffee cafe over in the Marigny, is unbelievable.
Yeah, there's that place, and there's another place over the Marigny too. They've got praline bacon.
Ooh.
And I'm trying to think of the name of it. It's right by the water. It's hell to get old when you have a mental park.
Well, while you think on that, I'll give you a minute. This Houdat Cafe, I brought Tina. She had a chicken fried steak which is one of the things we admire about our wife, they have an item called Not Your Mama's Corn Cakes. And it's basically a corn pancake, cornmeal pancake, like a Johnny cake, with a Mornay sauce that is flecked with bacon and cheese and scallion. It is obscene how good it is. It's my absolute favorite breakfast in New Orleans. Hudak Cafe, I sent it to Rosa there. He loved it. So highly recommended. And Neil, what's the new place, the place that opened a second location right by the track? That's quite good. The breakfast joint right outside the gates, up the, to the right. If you take a left out of the track, it's right.
You know, I'm not huge on that place. Everybody loves it, but I've been a couple times and I just don't see the,
We lost you there for a second.
Oh, I say it's a place that I'm not real fond of. A lot of people love it.
Huh.
It's toast.
Toast, exactly, exactly. I had two, this past year, I had two breakfasts, in about a, week-long, went twice over a week-long after the show, I went over there. I had a fabulous omelet, and I loved their potatoes were terrific. They had Leonese potatoes, which I love.
Well, I just tried simple stuff like eggs over easy, and they couldn't get it right.
Ooh,
so
that's not good. That's not good.
I haven't been back.
Are you?
I'd rather go to Betsy's for breakfast. It's
Betsy's.
It's just home style, not fancy, no foo-foo to it, but it's just a good breakfast. Pancakes, eggs, bacon, toast. And it's just, it's a decent breakfast for someplace quick and inexpensive.
What's your opinion on Ruby Slipper?
I like Ruby Slipper. Ruby Slipper's good.
Right.
Also, we got to put in a plug for, in New Orleans, there's not a lot, the Kosher Cajun Deli.
Ooh.
It's in Metairie, actually right across from one of the Ruby Slippers.
Kosher Cajun Deli. How about this? All right. Good job. Well,
good corned beef. Good roast or pastrami, pasta ball soup, lox. You know, if you want something like that, that's a good spot to go.
What?
Of course, they are really kosher and they are closed on Saturday.
How about that? All right, that's the first time we've heard that mentioned. It is getting to be Mardi Gras season. Who makes your favorite king cake?
Probably Radazzo's or Kaluta's is really good too.
Kaluta's.
I had a Kaluta's king cake the other day, and it was. I normally try not to eat too much king cake, but I almost went back for a fourth piece.
We got a two pack delivered to us, and Tina went 2 for 2 on the baby. I have never, ever found the baby when sharing king cake with Tina. She's gotten every single baby.
That's perfect.
It's unbelievable.
That's perfect. She's gonna stop eating king cake because she won't be able to afford to after too long.
What?
I don't know if people know the tradition, but if you get the baby, you're supposed to buy the next king cake.
Well, but she never does. I keep buying it.
Well, that's your fault.
Who's your favorite? I've never asked you this. Who's your favorite Benet?
Oh, probably Cafe Du Monde.
Okay. All right.
But there's a lot of them out there that are, they're all very similar for the most part. But if you get Cafe Du Monde, if you go there and eat, I don't suggest taking any of them home and waiting an hour.
No. You gotta get them down right away. You know,
and if you wait a day, you can almost use them as bricks.
Well, Frank Magui put me on. What's the place at the end of the streetcar line? One of the big cemeteries is right in front of you, and off to the right is coffee shop, and they do a sourdough beignet.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad.
I got it.
Another breakfast place we forgot too is Uptown.
Uptown.
Yeah, right on the trolley line, actually. It's on Carrollton, but right by St. Charles. They had a place downtown for a while that didn't make it just because of the hours. But they're open 24/7. They have omelets that are outrageous. Orange freeze, if you want one.
Ooh.
What's his name of it? Very famous place, actually. I should have mentioned it since I've drawn a mental blank on the name of it.
Well, you're 0-2. Did you ever get back? You never got back to the Marigny, the Marigny spot, the breakfast joint.
No, actually, I tried Googling breakfast places in New Orleans, and it didn't come up.
All right, text it to me, and we'll get it out to everybody. You're the best, the greatest.
I'll think of the other place too, uptown. It's a good spot to go for any time, day or night. They also have other things too, but they do breakfast year round. And I'll have to text them to you here in a little while, because when you get old, you know, it just...
Well, here's a couple of notes that are coming in on the wire. The big question, who pays for lunch today? You, Brian Krantz, or Mikey DiLiberto?
None of the above. We're going to the cannery for Delgado baseball luncheon that we were invited to, so nobody pays. It's a Jewish lunch. It's free.
But I'm bumped. This person is also recommending for a breakfast one of my favorite places, the Camellia Grill.
That's the place I was trying to think of. That's on the
line. It's right on the, right near Oak, a couple of blocks from Oak Street.
That's the place. You're right. That's what it is. A couple blocks from Oak Street, and it's right. That's where Brightson's is, right behind it, two blocks.
Right, and I love that neighborhood. I'll tell you. Just
Camellia
fabulous.
Grill was one of the places I was trying to think of.
You know, it's funny though. For Camellia, for me, I do not. I prefer the burgers and shake, a freeze, not a shake. I prefer the burger to the breakfast, actually, when I go there. But it's a great, I mean, it's like cut right out of, you know, right out of time.
Right. I get both depending on what mood I'm in, or sometimes I'll just get both, omelet and a hamburger.
That a boy. That's our man.
But always an orange freeze.
The orange freeze. Oh, that was how we should have known. When you said freeze, I should have realized. I get the chocolate freeze myself, but yeah, the Camellia Grill. Out of this world. And then
we can't forget our regulars for people coming. Brightson's number one.
Yep.
Irene's is a good spot downtown.
It's Brian. That's Brian Spencer's favorite place.
And near the track, a place called Lola's isn't too bad.
You know, I've never. It's funny you bring Lola's up. I drive by Lola's, and I've wondered about it. I found a king cake place. There's an Asian grocery right across the street. I'm going to forget what the cross street is there. And they do, somebody put me on the lead to this. They do one with an unusual filling. And it was unbelievably good. Like a, you know, an Asian jelly filling. And it was tremendous, the king cake.
Really and truly, how can you go wrong with a king cake?
You can't really, but...
icing, filling, cake, it's hard.
Oh, you know what it was? It was a guava. It was a guava filling.
Okay.
That's what the filling was.
A new Chinese restaurant that opened up that's very good is a place called Miss Shirley. It's also uptown on Magazine Street.
Spell it again. Say it again.
Miss Shirley's.
Miss Shirley's. Excellent.
It just opened up recently. She used to have Royal China next to Dornak many years ago, and they sold the business. And she's kind of retired for a while, and she reopened Uptown. I guess she got bored with retirement.
That'll happen. That'll happen. Oh, actually, I think the place I'm thinking of. Oh no, that's different. Okay, it's not what it was. No, the coffee.
Welcome to my club.
I know. I'll reach out to Frank and I'll get the beignet place. I want to say Central. Is it Central Coffee? Is that possible?
Could be Community Coffee. Central Coffee.
Not Community. All right. I've got to do some follow up work. That's all right. I don't mind. Well. Neil,
I gave you homework. You got homework now.
Exactly. That's they count on us for this. I appreciate it as always, Neil Pessin, everybody, and Neil, can't wait to get there for Risen Star Week.
Yeah, we'll have to get to the Hans, and at some point we got to get you. I don't know. I think you went once with us to Moscas, didn't you?
We went to Moscas, and in fact, I asked the other day on Friday. I had Magui, and I said, "Are we going back to Moscas?" And he said, "No." He said, "We're going. We got something new for you." So I would like to go back to Moscas. I really enjoyed it. It was my first. That was my maiden breaker.
Is it CC's Coffee House, the one you're thinking of?
No. I need McGoey on this because my man Shex is not answering.
He must have caller ID.
He's listening, and he's the one who asked about who's paying for lunch.
Okay, well, tell him we got a sponsor today, so we're good.
That's one of the great terms in all of racing, the sponsor on scholarship.
Yeah, tell him normally it's Dutch Treat.
Well, I don't mind picking up a check when you're getting us tables.
I don't mind picking it up as long as I can hand it to somebody.
Neil Pessin, the one and only. Neil, thanks so much. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you, Steve.
Talk soon. You got it. Unbelievable. So much fun. Neil Pessin. Listen, I'm not going to have him on and not get this laundry list of joints. He's invaluable. Betsy's, very straightforward. You can get muffalettas right now, Central Muffalettas at Zupardo's. Kosher Cajun Deli, that's a find, right? And Camellia, I've told you about Camellia before. It's funny that he pushed Lola's because I've driven by and now I've got to find it's all. If I dig through my phone, I'll find everything. So anyway, right now we got to take. Actually, let's take a break. That was a runoff, as we're wont to do. We got Tommy Ventura is going to join us next. I'll reach down to Ocala. Tell you what, in 10 minutes with Pessin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different places. That's more than there is in Ocala, in all of Ocala. No, that was mean. I didn't mean that. McGoey, wait a minute. McGoey's answering. McGoey is typing at me. Eileen's? That's not the beignet place. Eileen's. Oh, is Eileen's the place, the breakfast joint he couldn't think of in the Meringue? Look at this, interactive radio. Morning Call, thank you. Morning Call is that Frank put me on. Sourdough-based beignets. Dynamite. And actually, easy to get to, too. And how? Now I will never forget Morning Call as a name. My brother wrote for the Morning Call in Allentown. That's the newspaper in Allentown, Pennsylvania.